Lane bench. There's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
Here it is. Put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hey, hey, hey. It is Wednesday, November 20th. And we are underway this hour on Flames Talk with Aaron Vickers of NHL.com. My name is Pat Steinberg. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Save. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. What's up, Vic?
I'm just having a time over here, pal. We're having a good day.
We are. We are. And you know who's having a hell of a time right now?
Who?
Justin Kirkland of the Calgary Flames. Boy, is he ever. Flames Talk's underway this hour. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. How about another game on his stick Tuesday against the New York Islanders? And boom, money. Shootout. They don't count it as the game winner, but it was the game ender. Kuzmenko got the shootout winner.
And I think they call it a clincher, at least in my line of work when we're writing game stories.
Shootout.
It's a clincher.
So Kirkland got the clincher?
That would be Kuzmenko got the clincher.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I digress.
Game on Kirkland's stick, score and you win. He did. Boom, game over. Flames win 2-1. This guy is having the time of his life.
Oh, yeah.
And I am so here for how Justin Kirkland is just enjoying the ride. He's got a job to do. He has to put in the work. But it's not like nothing is taken for granted.
Nope.
He does not act like he's been here before because he hasn't been here before. And he is just enjoying himself. And damn, it has been a lot of fun to watch this whole thing play out. Like, good for this guy for doing what he's doing and kind of cementing his spot in the NHL and say, hey, you can't send me back. I had a great camp. You didn't start me. You gave me my opportunity. And be damned if you're going to ever send me back to the American Hockey League.
He's just a guy that looks like he's out there living the dream. And this gets bandied about a lot, the always earn, never given, but Justin Kirkland has earned this opportunity. Nothing's ever been handed to him, and he's done a really good job, at least from my perspective, of coming in, putting in the work, getting the results, but also having fun along the way, too. Like, this is, and perhaps it's because it's taken him so long to get to this point that you can appreciate it a little bit more, the grind. How long it's taken, over a decade for him to score his first NHL goal from his draft year. Just everything about the Justin Kirkland story brings a smile to your face. One, because of how hard he's had to get here. Two, because of the obstacles he's had to overcome to get here. But three, the personality and the enjoyment level you see him taking from this makes it that much better from the outside to root for a guy like him.
And it is full-on genuine, by the way. He's been productive in a fourth line role. He's got 7 points in 16 games. I'm not hearing all those bad shootout choices takes that I heard after the Buffalo loss. Remember when they lost to the same?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you remember, but I do, because a lot of texts, a lot of calls about what was Huska thinking with those shootout choices against the Sabres. You know what those shootout choices were? In order, Sharon Govich, Kuzmenko, and Kirkland. You know what the shootout choices were against the Islanders? Sharon Govich, Kuzmenko, and Kirkland. And Kuzmenko scored one of the greatest shootout goals I've ever seen, and Kirkland did his thing again and iced it. Yeah, I think the shootout choices aren't just, oh, who's going well? You know, how do I feel right now? You're not doing Mark Crawford in the 1998 Olympics.
Oh, thankfully.
Crow, I will never forget that. I will
how
never
do you
forgive
not put Gretzky
you.
In a shootout?
Ugh.
I understand, but I don't understand.
Look, I love you, Ray Bourque, but by no means should you have been taking the second shot.
Well, the ice was choppy, and he's one of the most accurate shooters. No, this guy has the most goals in NHL history. Put that guy in.
Anywho, I don't want to get into that. It'll give me hives. By the way, Justin Kirkland, 66.6% NHL shootout rate. AHL shootout rate in his career, he's 22 for 35 in the American League at 62.9%. Yeah, you know what? Guys who are above 60% in their career in shootouts, maybe put them in shootouts. And that's what Ryan Huska has done in three opportunities. Anyway, what a story for Justin Kirkland. The car accident in January 2023 that could very well have claimed his life. The car accident in January 2023 that could have ended his career. It was serious. The recovery was extremely difficult. It derailed a season for him, and it was a season where he was finally feeling like he was in the NHL and maybe he had a chance to be a full-time NHLer, and then in the blink of an eye, in an instant, he's rehabbing from a very serious serious accident. If you want more details on the accident, Eric Francis wrote about it at sportsnet.ca about a month ago. It's an awesome read from Francis, and that'll give you the background. I don't talk about the actual specifics of the accident with Justin in this conversation because, you know, because Francis wrote about it and because he's talked a lot about that, wanted to talk about some other stuff. But Justin Kirkland sat down with me in the Hot Stove Lounge after practice on Wednesday morning. What a ride it's been for Justin Kirkland. And it's just keeps on rolling with another shootout game clincher, game winner on Tuesday against the Islanders. Here's Justin Kirkland from earlier on Wednesday.
I wanted to start with the shootout side of things. That's another game ended on your stick in a shootout. That's twice now. It's got to be a kind of an unexpected little perk to what's been this ride, and now they're going to you when they need the game on your stick. Like how much fun has that role been, being the closer in a few shootout wins here?
Yeah, it's been pretty cool. You know, coming up when we went into that first shootout, I kind of said it before, I wasn't really expecting to get the tap, but, you know, it's, I'm thankful from the coaches for the opportunity. And, you know, I've had the chance to close it out, but that's a lot of credit to our goalies and the other shooters. So,
yeah.
You know, I've kind of been in a fortunate position that way, but, you know, last night, Wolfie, a couple of big saves, Kuzi, doing his thing, showing off his skill. So, you know, I was kind of a recipient of their work as well.
I know you were asked about this after the game on Tuesday night, but, like, having everybody's eyes on you and being in that moment, like, a lot of people, that might be a lot to handle, but you kind of just have to embrace it and enjoy it, right?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a lot of pressure, but I think that's also a privilege as well. Obviously, you step out there, especially on home ice. You know, you don't want to let the crowd down. So, a little added motivation, added pressure. But you know, it's all exciting.
Yeah,
it's like you said, it's been a nice little touch to this journey.
Everybody's calling it the Kirkland signature move. Do you have others in the back pocket? Because you know that one's worked. You're 2 for 3 on that move. But like, do you have others that maybe one day you'll bust out if you feel like goalies are starting to get a book on you?
Yeah, there's a few different variations to it.
Okay.
Won't let
don't let any cats out of the bag, but yeah.
Yeah, I definitely know you know, there's obviously pre-scouting and stuff that goes into that stuff for the goalies. So you know, it's something that's gonna have to be switched up, and you know, a few different looks here and there, and try to keep goalies on their toes. But yeah, pretty happy with how it's gone so far.
For a guy who's been successful at that discipline in the American League, and now here you are finding some success at the NHL level, like, do you do a lot of studying and you kind of have an idea of what you're doing based on the goalie you're facing each time?
A little bit. I mean, we, you know, goalies pre-scout, but so do players. You know, Barb's throws together a little clip before the game, you know, that just rolls all before the game. So you see some stuff on the other team's goalies, you know, regular, you know, during the game.
Yeah.
And then also you see some of that shootout stuff too. So you've got a little bit of an idea, but obviously every goalie is different. And especially at this level, there's, you might think you have an idea, but, you know, these goalies are top notch. So, yeah, I was pretty happy it went in last night.
So how much just, I mean, you were sitting here talking and huge smile on your face. Seems like every time the camera's on you on the ice, huge smile on your face. How much are you just enjoying this last month being a member of the Calgary Flames? How much fun has this been on top of it being a job and you've got work to do?
Yeah, there's obviously work to do, but I do my best to not look at it as a job. I'm in a pretty fortunate position. I mean, all of us are, to be able to do this for a living. It's been so much fun. I try to enjoy every day. I saw a quote on Twitter. I can't remember who it was that said it. It was an ex-player who said there's no such thing as a bad day in the NHL.
Yeah.
And that kind of hit home with me. And obviously not every game's going to go the way you want. There's going to be days you show up to practice and you're tired, but this is every kid's dream, and I get to live it. So soak everything in every day, enjoy being around the guys, and try to learn stuff, learn something new every day, and work hard to get better. And it's been quite the ride. The guys have made it very enjoyable, and especially our line, I think we're having a lot of fun with each other. We've got some good chemistry going now, and you get to play with Lomberg and Rooney, who obviously have a lot of experience in the league, and I'm able to lean on them, and they've been fantastic for me.
Who smiles during a game more, you or Lomberg?
He's kind of a guy that you can feed off of, so we'll give that one to him. If you follow your lead, if anyone who knows Lombo, anytime you spend around him, you're probably smiling, laughing.
Yeah.
He's just got a good energy and aura about him, so anytime you get to spend with him, it's always a good time.
We always hear that term in pro sports, like, act like you've been there before, right? And like, oh, well, you're in the show, like, act like you've been there. But like you haven't been here in a situation like this before. How important is it to kind of embrace that part of it and soak in the fact that, you know, for the first time in a long career and with so much hard work that you've put in, that you are here and that you haven't had the opportunity for an extended period of time quite like this before?
Yeah, that's been a big focus for me is, take it one day at a time and soak it all in and embrace it. And it's something I've talked about with my wife and my family is, it's like you said, it's been a long journey to get here. And now that I'm here and getting a real taste of what it's like, it's soak it all in. You don't know what tomorrow brings. I had a little stint before and that was ripped away from me. You just don't know what tomorrow brings. So each day in the NHL is a great day.
Yeah.
We're having fun with it. It's great for me, but I'm also really excited for my parents, my sister, her husband, and my wife to be able to be along on the ride with me.
Yeah.
They've supported me and had a lot of work behind the scenes that have helped me out and get me to this point.
We're chatting with Justin Kirkland. I'll tell you a little story. It would have been kind of late in training camp, and we were doing the post-game show, and I was taking calls. I was sitting right here, and somebody had asked me kind of, hey, if the Flames need to recall a setter, who would they look to? And was just going through kind of how training camp would have gone, and I hadn't really even gotten to any names yet, and I get a text from somebody in the organization who is listening, who may be the GM of the Wranglers, and he goes, Kirkland. And I go, Justin Kirkland had a hell of a camp. Like, there's this. And so I wonder, when you signed back here, because you had been in the organization before and then left for a few years, when you signed back here, was something like this, and was NHL time, was that something that you envisioned? Was that a big reason why signing back with the Flames organization was something you wanted to do?
Yeah, there's definitely a few things that came into play. My wife and I made Calgary our home base in the off season about 4 years ago. We had bought a place here and stuff, so that was a big thing to be able to stay in our home for the first time in 9 years to be able to be close to family and friends. That was a big part, but ultimately we were looking for the place that we thought would be the best opportunity to get a real look in the NHL. And talking with my agent, my family, Calgary was interested, and obviously nothing is ever given. I knew that I had to earn it, and that was a big factor in re-signing here. And also I absolutely love my time in the organization previously. I know I never had a look with the Flames at that point, but there's a lot of good people in this organization, and to be honest, I didn't really want to leave the first time, but I kind of got an opportunity in Anaheim, and that was something that I was, chasing after for 6 years. So it was tough to leave. I loved all the guys. I loved the staff members and stuff. And coming back here for training camp, it also made the transition, to a new season easier. I know the faces around around the room. I know the staff and stuff like that. So it was an easy decision for us.
So why did you and your wife decide to make Calgary home? I'm curious as to what about this city and why you, before even knowing that you were going to sign with the Flames and be in the organization, what made this city the place you wanted to kind of put down roots in?
Yeah, so Well, I grew up in Alberta. I grew up in Camrose, so it's a short drive back home, which is nice. I used to spend my summers out in Kelowna, which was, you know, beautiful and good for training and stuff like that. But it was far away from home. So
yeah.
When I had signed with Calgary the first time, I decided to spend my summers down here to train with the organization and spend my off season with the strength coaches and the skills coaches to continue to develop. And we just, you know, really started to enjoy the city and bounced around from rental to rental. And, you know, we kind of said it's about time we put down some roots somewhere. And we're very happy with the decision to make Calgary home.
It's one of those things where it kind of feels like, you know, you have one intention and it kind of just snowballs from there. And next thing you know, here you are playing in the NHL, which I know because we talked to you in the offseason and you were like, yeah, maybe if I get in the NHL, that'd be great. But you were fully prepared to be an important part of the Wranglers. But like you kind of start down one path and here you are. Kind of good things lead to other good things, don't they?
Yeah, it was funny. We were I was talking with my wife in the summertime and, you know, we had the house, we signed with Calgary, and we just kind of said it seems like things are, I don't know, kind of lining up.
Yeah.
We just kind of had a good feeling about it. Everything was just kind of falling into place nicely. And, you know, I knew coming into training camp, you know, I just had to put my best foot forward and work as hard as I could every day. And I was happy with how camp went and obviously, you know, didn't make the team out of camp. And that's something that, you know, you've got two choices. You can go down there and be a little bit sour about it or go down and put your head down and work. And that's what I wanted to do. Obviously, it was a pretty quick turnaround to come back up here. But, you know, it's like you said, things have worked out and
yeah,
very, very happy with it.
You know, I don't want to, because I know that you've talked about the accident in January of 2023 a number of times. So I don't want to necessarily go down that road again, but I just... You talk about envisioning things and kind of the attitude that you have to take when things don't go your way. Well, I mean, that's a massive moment in your life and an extremely difficult thing to come back from. Like when you start coming to grips with that and how it kind of derailed a season for you and all that type of stuff, you take yourself back almost 2 years ago. Could you at that time have envisioned what's going on right now? Like, is that something that... Had somebody told you this was going to happen, would you have believed them at the time?
You know, I would have believed them because I think that's just in my nature is to put my head down and work whatever the circumstances may be. You know, it wasn't obviously it wasn't ideal what I went through, and at that time when you know, I was getting my first taste of the NHL, so
yeah,
it took a lot mentally to try to refocus and sort of turn the page on that. It was a long recovery and stuff, and you know, it was just trying to find the mental strength. You know, there's some dark days going through that that recovery process and stuff. But once again, I was surrounded by some really good people. You know, supported my wife, who you know, was there and helping me out in any way that she could, and my parents and sibling and stuff like that. So you know, it's a lot of credit to them.
I imagine where you are now, like. The confidence was always there that you could do this. Maybe not the confidence it was going to happen, but I would imagine you never lost faith in kind of your confidence in your abilities and that you could, if given the opportunity, you could be in a spot like this.
Yeah, I always had that self-belief, and I think you have to make it in this business. It's, you know, it can be a pretty cutthroat business, so you've got to believe in yourself. And like you said, when the opportunity comes, you've really got to try to run with it because, you know, there's big decisions that are being made and, you know, a lot of moving parts to what goes on behind the scenes. So, you know, when I got that call, just, you know, said to my wife and my parents, this is my chance. And, I'm going to do everything that I can to stick around. And, you know, it's gone well so far, but it's, like I said, it's day to day. I'm not looking too far ahead. It's whatever I can do to help this team win and stay in the lineup. That's what I'm willing to do.
Yeah, and imagine nothing taken for granted anymore, hey? Like, that probably never enters into your mindset these days.
No, not at all, especially after all that stuff that I went through. It's, you know, I'm fortunate to be in this position, like I said previously, to be able to play hockey for a living, stuff like that. We're very, very fortunate to be in the position that we are, and it's not something that I take lightly. You know, I wear my heart on my sleeve, and this is what I want to do. So, like I said, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to stick around.
Just a few more with Justin Kirkland. That mindset, like, is it almost like one of those situations? Like, I'm here. Like, you're gonna have to pry my hands off of this at this point to get me out of the NHL. Like, is that an important mindset to have alongside the fact that you're not taking anything for granted?
I think so. Yeah, it's. You know, that was kind of my mindset coming into camp is make their decision hard, whether it's I'm sticking around or I'm going down. It's, you know, make them think hard about this. And that's what I'm trying to do every single day is there's a lot of guys that are capable of, you know, playing a role in this league. And there's constantly guys trying to, you know, move up the lineup and move up leagues and stuff like that. So, you know, you really can't afford to take a game off.
Last one, Ryan Huska just walked by us as we were talking to go do his media after practice, and a couple of times when he's been asked about you, he's talked about, like, hey, this is not the Justin Kirkland I had in Kelowna, and he kind of said, you know, maybe a little bit too focused on skill and wasn't willing to dig in and stuff like that. Have you heard those comments from Husk and how he described you then compared to now?
Yeah, I have. It's, you know, he's not wrong. Growing up, I was definitely more of a skilled player, and you know, I could kind of get by on that in some aspects in junior. And you turn pro, and you realize that, you know, everybody at the pro level has that skill, and it's how are you going to separate yourself? So it took me a few years to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, once you kind of settle into that role and have a better understanding of what you need to do every single night to be effective, and even in the American League to stay in the lineup and stuff like that, it's for me, it's put my work boots on go crash and bang and get a little dirty. And, you know, it's like I mentioned before with our line, that's kind of our motto is let's get on the forecheck, cause some havoc. And, it's this whole, these past 5 weeks, whatever it's been, it's just an incredible ride.
So he used the term soft skill a couple of times. You'd agree with that too?
In junior, yeah, I was definitely more of a, maybe a perimeter player looking to make the cue pass and focus more on offense. But I think as I've matured as a person and a player, I've realized how important, you know, some of the role guys throughout the league, how important they are to their teams. You see the teams that win the Stanley Cup and stuff like that. Every team's got a, you know, a gritty third, fourth line that's hard to play against.
Yeah.
When they're on the ice, the opposing team's like, you know, you don't want to play against those guys. So for us, for our line, that's kind of where our mindset is.
Good save, by the way, too. We could have edited that out.
Oh, okay.
That was a good save. Is that a hard mindset to switch, like to go from being a guy that you maybe was on the perimeter and now you're into the guts of it? Like, is that I know I couldn't do that. Like, that hurts, and that takes a lot of like physical commitment too. Is that tough to get your head around, especially in the early going?
At the early going, it definitely was. Yeah, when I first turned pro and went to the American League, you know, you come out of junior being a skilled guy and you think, okay, I can do this at this level. And then, I don't know, I think at that age, you don't really realize how big that step is to pro hockey. And all of a sudden you're playing against grown men and you're going, okay, this isn't working. So now what can I do to stick around? And, as the years progress, you kind of learn something. Well, every day you learn something new, but as years progress, you pick up on the little things that have worked for you. And, you know, where I'm at right now is, probably the most complete game that I've, you know, put together for myself. So I got to continue that. And like I said, just try to force our decisions on them and hopefully stick around.
That's awesome. Thanks for doing this. Hey, congratulations on everything so far. And thanks for spending a little time in here today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Pat.
That Justin Kirkland a little earlier on Wednesday from the Hot Stove Lounge of the Dome. It's a tough story not to.
Yeah.
It's a tough story not to be dialed in on. Hey, like, it's the attitude, and you can tell how much. I just love the whole idea of, don't act like you've been here before. Act like this is an incredible opportunity, and don't be like, don't take it for granted, and still put in all the work you need to put in, but it's okay to enjoy it. It's okay to understand that you've worked your ass off to get to a certain point and you're finally there. And I just love the fact that that's the way that Kirkland's going about it. And I love the fact that it's turned into this story because he's a legitimate NHLer. He's a legitimate NHLer right now. And there's no way in hell I'm sending this guy back right now.
No, absolutely not. What he's given you at 5-on-5, what he's given you in the shootout has definitely benefited the Calgary Flames, and you just have to appreciate a guy that almost has the mentality of every day is Christmas morning when you're in the NHL. It's an opportunity he certainly doesn't take for granted. And to your point, yeah, he absolutely busted his ass to get here.
Thanks to Jay Bay, Jordan Bay, and the rest of the Flames PR staff for making that happen a little earlier on Wednesday. Thanks to Justin Kirkland for sitting down with us as well. That was a lot of fun. We are underway this hour on Flames Talk. He's Aaron Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg, and we're coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Talking your team right now. Flames Talk is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Time now for our Pacific Division Insider. It's a Wednesday edition of Flames Talk, which means we chat with Jonathan Davis of NHL Network and VSiN Sports. He is our Pacific Division Insider to spin us around the Pacific today and every week here on Flames Talk. He joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. What's up, JD?
Oh, Pat, living the dream. How was Grey Cup?
It was great, man. It was an awesome few days. Loved the game. Vancouver and the CFL did it right. It was a good time. And I'm also happy to be back. So it was a good little temporary change of pace and super happy to be back and back to normal.
Yeah, you know, the boys were ripping you last week. I don't care what they say.
Shocking.
They were just
absolutely stunned by that. Making fun of a guy who
told me how bad you are and like you're so hard to work with. And
no, that's all true. I mean, I couldn't. That part's all true. Yeah. If it's the truth, you can't get mad. Hey, let's dive in. Let's get right to it. And before we go around the Pacific, I hear that the Calgary Flames made you some money again.
They absolutely did. I played the game to go to overtime last night. Nice 3-1 payout. You know, it's if you're someone who likes to, let's make it really simple. Bet the Islanders every game to go to overtime. If you did that last year, a $100 better would have been up $2,800 on the Islanders alone. Like this year, you're up $1,400 if you bet the Islanders just to go to overtime this year.
Huh?
It's unreal. I mean, and now Calgary, I think the two teams now have combined for 15 overtime games between the two. So that's why that was, yeah. And then when that game went to overtime, I jumped on Calgary.
Oh, so you got a little double win. Bet the tie and got the Flames to win in overtime. Very nice, very nice. This is why This is why you are VSiN's NHL betting expert, because of things like that. So well done, sir.
There you go.
Jonathan Davis, NHL Network, and VSiN Sports. He's our Pacific Division insider. Let's get into the Pacific. Let's start in Vegas, my friend, as the Golden Knights have been deadly at home, not so much on the road as they get set for a 5-game road trip here.
Yeah, and so I'm not by my set right now, so I don't know if we had any action occur yet in this game before I slam. Oh, no, we have not. It's like 3 wins in 9 road games for the Golden Knights. And so it has been a struggle for them for sure. And now, you know, they're coming off that game against Washington where I thought they played actually a really good game. And it was an uncharacteristic turnover by Jack Eichel that once Vegas got to within one ended up, you know, being a 2-goal game and then Washington cruised. But yeah, look, they've got to solve this issue. There's no question. And, you know, they're dealing, you know, between the injuries, you know, losing Mark Stone, I think is, you know, that's been, you know, rinse and repeat with a Mark Stone injury, and the conspiracy theorists are everyone joking, saying, okay, we'll see him come playoff time. But, you know, look, this was that line of Stone, Barbashev and Eichel were tearing up the league before he went down. And you know, they've moved Pavel Dorofeev up to that line, and you're watching the games. I mean, it hasn't been a perfect fit yet. Dorofeev plays on the power play, on that first unit power play, and it's worked out much better there. But, you know, between, you know, so losing Stone is hurt. They have to be better. And they're in a back-to-back situation in Toronto tonight, and then they're in Ottawa tomorrow. And I would expect Samsonov to start tomorrow with Aiden Hill going tonight. I was surprised, Pat, that on Sunday against Washington that they played Samsonov against his former team, because Aiden Hill had come off just an outstanding performance against Utah a couple of nights prior in a game that Vegas trailed 2-0 and then won 4-2. I would have thought you would have come back with Hill against Washington, play him against Toronto, and then play Samsonov against the Senators. The Capitals looked like they knew where Samsonov's weak spots were in that game. He was not very good, to say the least.
You mentioned Mark Stone and his injury situation, but maybe some good news on Victor Olofsson, who was off to a really nice start before his injury.
Yeah, so Olofsson's on a conditioning assignment with their AHL team, the Henderson Silver Knights. And yeah, look, this, you know, here was, you know, one of those bargain basement signings, you know, just what, over $1 million for Olofsson, who, you know, got reunited early on with Jack Eichel and, you know, had 3 goals in 4 games and was playing on the power play and, you know, looked like that guy that was called Victor Golovson in Buffalo. So he will be a welcome addition. Look, I think at the end of the day, Pat, this is the best team in the division. I think they're the deepest team in the division. They just need to get themselves healthy. And then, you know, once they do get themselves healthy, you know, Kelly McCrimmon's going to just, you know, piss off everybody in the NHL and make another deal for, and somehow find a way to get someone in under the salary cap.
Yes, there is no doubt that that is what's going to happen. Okay, so that's the Vegas story. What about the LA Kings? Give us a little bit of insight in terms of what their upcoming schedule looks like here.
Well, it's soft. I mean, you know, they've got Ottawa, San Jose, Anaheim, and then sprinkled somewhere in there, there's a game against Winnipeg. They've got a lot of winnable games coming up. You know, they just played a Detroit team on the back end of a back-to-back. And, Pat, I mean, that was it was a painful watch at Crypto on Saturday night. I mean, Detroit was just awful. I mean, they looked like a team that had played, you know, on a back-to-back. And if it wasn't for Cam Talbot, that game would have been over in the first period. But I still don't know what to read about this L.A. team because, you know, Pat, they are one of two teams in the division, San Jose being the other, that just, you know, they haven't had a 3-game win streak all year. I mean, every team, Anaheim hit 3 last night. And, it, you know, their record tells you that they're above 500 and, you know, the points percentage looks really good. But they've got a lot of unconvincing wins. And someone was sharing with me just before we got on the phone, you know, they broke down everybody's schedule and, you know, were grading wins and losses. And I think L.A. was like in the top 7 against, you know, winning percentage against the bottom feeders, but they were in the bottom 7 against the top teams. And even their wins against teams like Detroit or Utah or San Jose, and they've lost once to San Jose, have not been very impressive. They don't have the ability to put teams away. There's not a game breaker on this team. So they're, you know, I keep telling one of my friends who's a very staunch Kings supporter and, you know, I think he wears his Kings pajamas to bed every night, and this guy's in his 50s. You know, I just tell him, look, this is a team that's built for the regular season. They're not built for a playoff run.
Yeah. What's happening with their goaltending situation right now?
Well, yeah, Darcy Kemper went down in the Columbus game or in the Colorado game last week. That's the second time that he's gone down with what we believe is a groin injury. Two groin injuries in a, a little over a month into the season is not good. Don't really have a sense of when Kemper is expected to return. The Kings brought up Eric Portillo, the former University of Michigan goalie who they had signed, and he's the backup right now. But I don't know if Portillo gets in the game because, you know, the Kings last played Saturday. They played a night against Buffalo. They're off again until Saturday against the Seattle Kraken. They do have a back-to-back the following week. So at some point, David Rittich will not play. And so whether it's going to be Eric Portillo gets his first NHL start or if Darcy Kemper's healthy. But it is interesting that they brought up Portillo and Phoenix Copley is, you know, is still with the AHL team. Copley got the recall earlier in the season. But I think, you know, LA knows what Copley can offer. And, you know, why not give Eric Portillo a chance at an NHL start at some point?
And former first-round pick Alex Turcotte, what's happening there with him and his return from an injury?
All right, so Turcotte comes back after missing a couple of games, comes back on Saturday. And, Pat, I have never seen this before. Plays the first two periods, is parked on the bench for the entire third period. We asked Jim Hiller about it after the game, and he said, well, that was our plan. He goes, I didn't tell Turcotte before the game, but I told him at the second period of intermission, the plan all along was to ease you back into the lineup, and we were going to sit you for the third period. I've never seen someone, no. I've never seen a player be game managed like that. I mean, look, at the end of the day, Detroit, there was no way Detroit was coming back in that game. I think it was 2-0 LA going to the third, and the Wings really had nothing. But you don't know that before the game. And if you want to limit the guy's minutes, like, why wouldn't you spread them out over the course of the game? I called around today to a few former executives, and I asked, like, are you aware of any, like, have your teams ever done anything like that? And I got a flat out no. And they were like, and Hiller himself said, you know, it's something that, you know, never happened to him as a player. I don't know who came up with this idea, but it was to me, it was a little bizarre. We'll see what happens tonight. You know, if, you know, they say Turcotte, you know, it was full steam ahead for tonight, but, you know, for some reason, if we see him parked on the bench, then it'll definitely raise some additional questions.
For sure. Jonathan Davis with us, our Pacific Division insider. The Anaheim Ducks finally putting some wins together.
Yeah, you know, look, it's 3-0. The big win was, you know, a couple of nights ago against Dallas. You know, from a betting standpoint, they were a plus 350 road dog at Dallas. That was one of the biggest upsets of the year. And then to come back the next night against Chicago, down 2-1 in the third, and then rally for a 3-2 victory. I know it's Chicago, but it's also Anaheim. And give them credit. And the line of Killorn and Zegras and Leo Carlson accounted for both those goals in the third period. We're starting to see some positive signs from Trevor Zegras. John Gibson got the win last night. He's 3-0. All that does is up his trade value. Mm-hmm. One interesting note, Pat, and I gave it to you in the notes, and I don't know what made me track something like this. Maybe it's just because of all the betting that I do for VSiN. But five of the last six teams that have knocked off the Minnesota Wild this year, Dallas, that was their previous game before playing Anaheim, have lost their next game. Like, that's crazy to me.
Those are some deep cuts from you. Like, that is impressive, JD. That I like yeah. to put a wager on and do a little research before I throw down a few shekels. But goodness gracious, that is some deep, deep stuff. Like, you're like well into the Dave Matthews Band deep cuts library. Well done.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you know, I just started noticing it. And you know, I didn't have the stones to play Anaheim that night because for other reasons. But, so that was just something that's been something that I've been paying attention to.
Let's go to San Jose. And I don't know if we should necessarily be surprised by this, but they're playing in a lot of close games these days.
Well, I mean, I think surprised because of the way they started. I mean, going, 0-8, 0-9 to start the year. And then they've turned things around. I think it's 9 of the last 11 games have been one-goal games for the Sharks that they've been involved in. They've won 5 of those 9. And that game a couple of nights ago against Detroit where Macklin Celebrini scores the overtime winner. So it was a very entertaining game. I mean, that was the one thing I did say to you, Pat, before the season started. The Sharks, I was hoping, and it didn't get off to a good start, but they are they're a good watch. I mean, and they'll fight you to the bitter end. So they're definitely, you know, they're making life tough for teams. They're in Dallas tonight. They played this, you know, they lost the first meeting to Dallas, but that was 3-2 in a shootout. So you know, they're in games every night or most nights, at least over the last, you know, I'd say, you know, 3 weeks or so. So something to pay attention to. They're not going to win them all. But obviously, but hey, 5-4, not so bad in these one goal games.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that has to do with the guy in net. I mean, Mackenzie Blackwood's right. going to be in another uniform by the trade deadline. There's no question. I mean, this is a guy, you know, who's got a 9.11 save percentage this year for a team that's like got given up the seventh most goals in the NHL. That tells you something. Blackwood, you know, a former first round draft pick, didn't work out in New Jersey in the long run for him there. But, you know, it's his second season in San Jose. He was really good, I thought, or not really. He was good last year. He's been just as good, if not better, this year, as the Sharks have a better team in front of them.
Yeah, and the Blackwood thing is going to be really interesting to see. Let's maybe finish in Edmonton. They lose in Toronto, then they lose big in Montreal and bounce back with a win against the Ottawa Senators. What jumps off the page to you from that three-game Eastern Canada road trip for the Oilers?
Well, the way they bounced back last night. I mean, that game, right from the get-go, the Oilers were flying. And, you know, I look back at the Montreal game, you know, and after watching what took place in Ottawa, then I look back at the Montreal game and I say, okay, they lose a tough one to the Maple Leafs, a game that they tied with just over a minute to go. That was just a great game to watch that night. But you lose Darnell Nurse on the vicious Ryan Reeves hit that got him suspended. They came, that Montreal game, right from the get-go, their heads just didn't seem to be in the right place. And watching, you know, the shots of Connor throughout the game, you know, on the bench, and it just, man, he looked like he was just muttering to himself, like, just not, they just weren't there. But to see them bounce back the way they did against Ottawa after that putrid game against the Canadiens, it tells you, you know, where this, to me, that's a really good sign. That's the sign of a team that's just going to, you know, that knows they gave one away to a team that they have no business losing to, and they made the Ottawa Senators pay.
Great stuff as always, JD. Appreciate it. Keep it going with those deep cuts in the betting game, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
We've got one for you tonight. One for you tonight, Pat.
What do you got?
Yeah. So we got the first period over, a goal in the first 10, and the full game over is Seattle Nashville. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but they're hitting it over 70%. But the game after a team has been shut out. First period over, and Seattle was shut out in their game against the Rangers. So the next game, first period over, goal in the first 10, full game over.
I like it. We'll talk to you next week. We'll get more of those and nuggets from you next week. Thanks, JD.
Take care.
Jonathan Davis, our Pacific Division insider from NHL Network and VSiN Sports. He joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline using the same secret recipe since 1975 at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Enjoying the game at home, call for pickup or delivery at 403-248-3344. As we start to wrap things up this hour, thanks to Shan, thanks to Cam, our producers this hour, and of course, Aaron Vickers is on Twitter at AAVickers. My name is Pat Steinberg, and this has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at calgarylockandsafe.com.